it's her statement and out, it's probably me. It's good again. Take your Bibles, turn with me if you will to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. If you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
I do love Him. Psalm 116. Now don't forget that Psalms are songs. And the book of Psalms is a songbook that the Jews would use as they were worshiping. Many of them were designed to be sung as they were going up to Jerusalem to worship. There were some that were sung to be sung in the home around your family. Then there were some that they would sing as they were leaving Jerusalem from worship. We're not real sure exactly what this particular one was originally written for, but we know this. It's appropriate at all times and for all occasions. And so look with me in Psalm 116. Psalm 116. By the way, we'll get Tiki next week, okay? We left him hanging in the door of an airplane. We cannot do that to the kids, all right? So, Lord willing, we'll rescue him, hopefully, next week. Psalm 116. The first phrase, I want you to look at the first phrase in there. I love the Lord. I want you to let that sink in. I love the Lord. But then the next word, he said, because. If I were to title this, I would simply title it, Why? I love the Lord. In the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, we are commanded. It says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. In the New Testament, Jesus took that up and spoke to his disciples. And he said in Mark, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Now, to be honest with you, I do love the Lord, but I don't do it because He commanded me to. There are several reasons. I love Him because He's my Father and I'm His child. But I also love Him because, and I want to give you three simple reasons. I love Him because He hears me. And I love Him because He helps me. And I love Him because He honors me. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the hearts that you've already moved on. And you are just that kind of God. You love us. You care about us intimately. And Lord, I do love you. You know my heart. I love you so much today. And I pray that what is said would give you honor and it would be a blessing to your people that hear. And God, I don't want to be a pointless, powerless preacher. I need you, God. I need your strength. I need your grace to help me physically, spiritually, mentally to say that you have said. And God, and to do it in a way that honors you and is a blessing to your people. Father, we do love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at what the psalmist said and read the first 8 verses in Psalm 116. He said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. How beautiful. I love the Lord. I do. I love him today. And I want you to listen to this. That there are so many things that I love about life. I love my wife. We were having a discussion yesterday. And fellas, you can appreciate this. And we're having a discussion that I'm always wrong. And then she pipes up and says, "You're not always wrong." I said, "Come on, come on, thank you." I was still wrong.
It's called
no way to win. No way to win. Yeah, that was. And so instead of getting mad, I'll just be honest with you. I got tickled. I said, "There you go, fellas. How many know what I'm talking about? Say amen.
Amen.
If somebody ain't brave enough to do it, just sit right the same. That's all right." That's all right. I do love my wife, and I love doing life with her. I love being your pastor. I love doing what I'm doing. I love helping people. I love that. But it all rests in the fact that I love the Lord. I am wanting to be a better husband because I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better pastor. Because I want to be a closer child of God. I want to be a better worker at work because I want to represent the God that I love. And I'll just be honest with you, the majority of people's problems in their heart center around the fact that their relationship with God is not what it ought to be. People's priorities in this age we're living in are all messed up. Everything comes before God. You know how you know that you love the Lord? Is nothing, listen to what I'm saying, nothing comes before your relationship with Him. Did we lose one?
No.
He's helping? Bless Him. Yeah, there's no telling what might happen. We're all camouflaged. You can't see me, but I am here. Of course, Faye's the only one really camouflaged with her Gucci shoes on and everything else, but we are glad that you're here. But I love the Lord. I do. It's genuine. It's in here. And there are times when I just have to tell Him, "I just love you, Lord. I love you." And thinking of reasons why you love the Lord, the psalmist lays them out. The first one is that He hears me. How many of you have ever talked to somebody and felt like they weren't listening? Yeah. I would pick on some of you, but I won't do it right now. Listen, He hears me. He hears me. The Bible here in this passage said He inclines His ear to me. Let me explain what that means. When one of these little ones come up, I remember we were having a fellowship dinner, and it was a couple years back, and Justin came up to me, and he looked at me, and he was talking, but I couldn't understand what he was saying. So what I did is, I leaned down closer where I could get everything he was saying. Finally, I understood what he meant. I inclined my ear to him. Now, it's not that God doesn't get it. It's not that God doesn't understand it. The problem is, He's trying to say, "You matter to me." God is watching over the whole universe, and then when you talk to Him, He leans down to hear what you have to say. Now, a while back, I had the opportunity to talk to one of our congressmen. And in talking to one of our congressmen, Congressman Senator Alexander, I looked him in the eye and I said, "I won't talk to you." I said, "I'm just going to say it right out loud. I don't know any other way to say it." And I said, "A lot of your decisions look like you're a rhino. It's your Republican in name only." He didn't jump away. He didn't get offended. He said, "I can understand that." I said, well, it does. Well, his aide came up and interrupted him. And he said, "I've got to go take this call, but I'll be back. Don't go anywhere." And I'm thinking, yeah, sure, this Congressman Alexander, I'm Chip. You know, right? And then so about 5 minutes later, he came back. He said, I'm so glad you waited. Go ahead, pick up where you left off. So you think I'm a rhino. And I mean, he's listening. I was talking to him. He inclined his ear to me. Now, I don't appreciate everything he's done, everything he's voted for, and a lot of the ways he's voted. But one thing I appreciated is he had time to incline his ear to me. Now, if that's true of somebody in the swamp in D.C., how important should it be that God inclines his ear to you? That he hears you. He hears you when you cry or you call out to him. When you confess to him. Let's just look at each one of that. When you call, the psalmist said, in the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Now imagine this, the psalmist David said, he said, when I consider the stars and all of this you've made, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, who is man that you're mindful of him? Or the son of man? In other words, he was saying, how in the world, God, do you have time for me? I'll tell you how, because he's God. He cannot be overwhelmed. The circuits to heaven are never busy when you pray. Now, I know there have been times I've prayed and it felt like the ceiling tiles were made of brass. You ever have that happen? When you felt like your prayers weren't going anywhere. But let me tell you something. That's just your emotions. That's just your feelings. If you are a child of the King, he wants to hear you. And when you speak, he inclines himself to you. Not because he's deaf. Not because he's old. Not because he can't hear. He can hear the thoughts of your mind. But it's to tell you how important you are to him. So when you call to him, does he hear you? If you say yes, say amen. He does. What about when you confess? Now, I don't know about you, but from time to time, I blow it. And I hate to disappoint those of you who thought your pastor was perfect in every single way. I can understand how you could make that mistake. But I'm not. But I'm so glad that in the Bible there's provision for when God's children mess up. And let me tell you what it includes. God is so cool. He'll give me the opportunity to confess it and it'll save me a whole lot of heartache versus him trying to pull it out of me. Let me explain. When I was a school principal, kids would be sent to me in trouble. And I found this work amazingly. What I would do, even if I didn't know all the details, I would set the child in front of me and I would say this to them. Do you want me to tell you what you did or do you want to tell me what you did? Now remember, I knew very little of what was going on. That child, 9 times out of 10, that child would spill their guts. They might have been sent to the office for stealing an eraser. By the time the kid's done, I think they just robbed a Brinks armored truck. I mean, they just spill their guts. And they're just like, I did this and I did that. I can remember this one child was just pouring out their heart. And it was, and I marked on so-and-so's notebook. And I mean, it was like confessional at the Catholic cathedral, man. And they were pouring out their heart. You know what I did with that child? That child was so sincere and so serious. Did I suspend them? Nope. That child gave themselves the worst licking sitting there, more than I could ever have done with a paddle or called their parent in to do. And when they got done, I said, well, are you going to do it again? They go, no, sir. No, I'm not. All right, you go ahead. How much more then, the Bible says that if you and I confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All you got to do when you blow it as a Christian, you don't have to become a Christian again. I know a group that they say that every time you sin, you got to get re-saved. That's not Bible, and that's nonsense. That's like saying I got to re-become God's child again. No, what I need to do is make sure the relationship is the way it ought to be. So I confess. I'm glad he hears me when I call him. But I'm real glad when he hears that I confess. And by the way, let me say this. And I'm not trying to put anybody down or anything like that. You do not have to confess your sins to some guy with a backward collar while you sit in a booth and he sits on the other side of the booth and you tell him all your sins. It will do nothing but make for excellent pages in the Inquirer. You don't have to do that. Here's what you have to do. Tell God. Tell God. Now, if you've done somebody wrong and you need to go to them and confess it and tell them, that's one thing. But when you confess your sins one to another, the Bible says, it's talking about how you've offended one another. The Bible says this, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. In other words, when I was carrying sin in my heart and I hadn't confessed it. My moisture is turned into the driest summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I'm so glad that God forgives Chip when Chip sins. If you're glad he forgives you when you confess, would you say amen?
Amen.
I am so glad that he hears me. We have a God that hears us. He hears us when we call. He hears when we confess. And then I just like to say this before I move on. I'm glad that he hears Chip when he cries. I'm gonna ask you to just sit up straight and listen. If in the last month, 30 days, you've cried for any reason whatsoever, I want you to put your hand up. Amen. Look at that. Amen. Listen, I want you to listen what God said about that child of God. I want you to listen about what God said about your tears. The psalmist said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. In another psalm, he said, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. I'm so glad that God hears me when I call. I'm so glad that he hears me when I confess. But I'll just be honest with you. I'm really glad that he hears me when I cry. There are times, you ever been crying out to God, and I mean, you couldn't even hardly find words, and maybe it all that went down to was, oh God. The psalmist David understands. In one of the psalms, his main prayer was two words. Here's what he said. He said this, help, Lord. Have you ever been there? Where that's all your prayer came down to was, God, I need help, or help, Lord. And I'm telling you this, when you did that as his child, he hears you. He's not ignoring you. He may not go poof and make everything better right then. But I'm here to tell you, he is dispatching angels on your behalf and miracles on your behalf to get done what needs to get done in order to carry you safely home. Even if it's in his own time, God hears you when you call. He hears you when you confess. And he hears you when you cry. And he keeps up with each tear. Wow. Wow. Years ago, a young lady was in prison for drugs, and she knew that her mom had been sorely disappointed in her. As a matter of fact, she had used her mother and her mother's money. Even though she didn't have much, she would take her last dime to get drugs, and she was in prison, and she began writing home because soon her sentence would be over with. And she was concerned that her mom wouldn't love her and wouldn't receive her after everything she had done. So finally, she was let loose, and her mother met her and brought her to her home. And on the mantelpiece was a small bottle about this big. And the daughter was looking at it, and she was holding it in her hands and turned and said, Mama, Mama, what's this? She said, those are tears I kept when I cried for you. My friend, let me tell you, a bottle that big full of tears is a lot of tears. When you sweep them off your cheek one at a time. And I'm here to tell you, you want to get God's attention. I want you moms. And I guarantee you this, when we get to the place where we have a nursery, if you could hear the cry of the kid in the nursery, Almost every mom knows the cry of their child, don't they? And they can tell the difference. Sometimes they're just little snots.
I want my attention and I want it now. My diaper's dry, I'm fed, but I don't care. I'm going to cry.
And the mom recognizes that. I've watched a mom with a kid doing figure eights around the neck. The kid's whining and carrying on. The mom's just like, she's not even getting it. It's not bothering her because she knows the kid's not hurt. But then there's that cry where, wham, the mom hits her feet and runs because she recognizes that that is a cry of pain and need. And I'm here to tell you, God knows the difference with you and me too. He knows when we're mean in business and when we're not. And your tears are being put in His bottle. And one day, perhaps you and I will get to see Him when we get home, that God has kept up with every one of them. And I'm so glad that part of that journey says, and all tears will be wiped away from the eyes. And there will be no more pain and no more sorrow. It'll all be gone. But in the meantime, we're not in the sweet by and by. We're in the nasty now and now. And sometimes we have to cry. And I'm so glad He hears when I cry. But I'm also glad that He helps. Look at verses 5 and 6. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and He helped me. I was brought low and He helped me, He said. I love the Lord because He hears me, but I love the Lord also because He helps me. How many of you are here today because somewhere in your journey, God has helped you somewhere? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All of us. We're all here because somewhere in this journey, God heard our cry, God heard our call, and God sent and dispatched help for us. You know what amazes me about God? How He'll send help to us in advance before we even know we need it. I've shared the story with some of you before. I think it was on a Wednesday night about how that when I was a young Bible college student, you had broke, and then you had where I was. I was broke. I was so broke, I did not have any money to buy diapers for my daughter. And I had enough gas to get back home from Nashville from school. And I was broke. And I had enough gas lined up for the rest of the week. I still wasn't sure I was going to get diapers. We had like a half a box left. And if you know anything about babies, they'd cruise through them in no time. No wonder they named them cruisers, right? Some of them, thank you. And I remember there was an RV at the top of the hill by the 105 exit pulled off the side, had out-of-state tags. And I pulled off, and it was an older couple, and they were looking at a map, and not the safest thing to do, they were doing it on the side of the road. And this was before GPS and all. And I said, I pulled up, got in front, put my flashlight on, I said, can I help you? Said, yes, we're looking for a place to stay, and said, not sure where to go. And I said, what if I led you to someplace? And they said, man, that'd be great. They didn't know me from Job's Turkey. But I led them down to Stone Fork to the campground. There's the campground down there. I led them over there across that old bridge and took them to the campground and got them checked in, you know. And they thanked me profusely. And I gave them one of my cards. I was pastoring a little church on Spring Street and went on my way. At the end of the week, I got a card in the mail and opened it up. And it was like $20 in it and said, thank you. Don't tell me God didn't do that. I promise you He did. There's times where God dropped blessings on your lap that you never even recognized it nor thanked Him. And He's still gracious and kind to us. We don't deserve it. That's what grace is all about. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. I am glad that my God not only hears me, I'm glad that He helps me. When I'm weak, He emboldens me. In 2 Corinthians, we find these words Paul wrote, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect or mature in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. What does that mean? When you can't, God can. When you're not able, He is able. And we need to recognize that some of the best places we ever were in our lives spiritually were the nubbins, didn't know where the next week. You weren't living paycheck to paycheck. You were just living. And God blessed you and watched over you and took care of you. My friend, listen to me. I'm grateful that He helps us. He helps me when I'm weak. He also helps me when I'm worried. I know you're not supposed to worry. How many of you know you're not supposed to worry? Raise your hand. How many of you worry anyway? Keep it up. I feel much better. You guys are messed up. We are, aren't we? We're broken. But I'm awful glad of this. The psalmist David put it this way because God, the Holy Spirit knew there'd be a chip and there'd be a you to raise your hand. Here's what he says. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I'm awful glad it didn't say, if you're ever worried, I'm crossing you off my list, sign God. He never said that. I am glad that when I'm worried, God cares and He helps. You see, when I'm worried, He holds me. The Bible says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I'm awful glad when there are times. My mom has been dead for a while, and she went home to be with Jesus in 2012. That's almost hard for me to believe. Excuse me, 2005, 3, 4, 2. She died. Yeah, my daughter died in 12. I'm getting old, man. Forgive me. I remember there have been times as a grown man that I have still missed my mom. That I have just, even sitting in my office at work, I just had it cross my mind, I wished I could talk to mom. Miss Ella, we're awful glad you're still here, you know. If Diane wants to talk to you, she just reaches over and leans over and talks to you. Or she picks up the phone and hopes you answer, right? I'm awful glad of that. But you know, I can't do that, but I know this. I know where my mama is. And the Bible says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. There is a heaven. My mama trusted Jesus. I know where she is. She's not lost. I didn't lose her because I know where she is. My daughter's not lost. I know where she is. And I'm grateful that God helps us. Amen. I am so grateful that He helps me when I'm worried. But then He also helps me, not just when I'm weak and not just when I'm worried. He helps me when I'm wounded. You see, when I'm weak, He emboldens me. When I'm worried, He holds me. And when I'm wounded, He molds me. The Bible says, the psalmist speaks and said, He healeth the broken heart and bindeth up their wounds. Now, I'm not trying to be too personal here, but I'm the best illustration of me I know, okay? I know what a broken heart feels like. I know what it feels like to be wounded. If you know what it's like to be wounded, say amen. I know what it's like. But I can tell you this. God is faithful. And what He has done is He has bound up and repaired and healed this broken heart of mine. And I'll tell you what He's done. He's made my heart better. I could have been bitter. But He made it better. You know, the choice lies with you. Which will it be? When the hurt comes, will you get bitter or will you let God make it better? I'm so grateful that He hears me. That's why I love Him. I'm so grateful that He helps me. That's another reason I love Him. But the third reason is He honors me. He honors me. Why would the God of the universe honor me? Why would He honor you? I can understand why He'd honor some of you, but I sure can't understand why He would honor me. But this is what He teaches down through here. If you look into verse 7, it says, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." We talked about the tears. How many of you, though, have been there, but God has been faithful through your tears? Raise your hand. Amen. He's not going to stop being faithful today. If you're hurting today, I want you to know God is still faithful. That God still hears your cry. God's still keeping up with your tears. And He's dispatching help on your behalf. It's why I love him. But the very fact is, guess what? He has honored all of us. Did you know that God is preparing a place for you and me? He's honoring you with a special place. Jesus said it. You know the verse. In John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But let me talk to you about that place. Well, I'm not just talking about vaguely in heaven. In heaven, one of the events is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And guess what? We are all going to sit at the biggest wedding reception in the history of mankind. And we are going to be the bride. And we are going to sit there at this table. And Jesus himself. I want you to hang on now. Jesus himself is going to wait on you. I can just picture Jesus come up to Faye saying, "Faye, your camo is gorgeous. But you want another biscuit. You want some corn?" And you can look over at Gerald, and Gerald just be, "But why ain't having a time?" Because God has prepared a place for you at his table. Because you are a child of the King. You have spiritually royal blood flowing through your veins. You are a prince or a princess with God. You are not a second-class saint. You are not a second-class anything with God. You are spiritual royalty in the household of the King. And he has a prepared place for you and a prepared seat at his table to honor you as the guest of honor in heaven. My goodness, he honors us. He honors us with his presence in this room today. Where two or three are gathered together, he said, "I'm in the midst." He's right here with us. I'll be honest with you, I love to have a time when I'm preaching. But I want any time I'm preaching to honor him as the honored guest. I do know there's some times when God has to look at my preaching and go, "Oh no." Then I hope there's more times where he goes, "That's my boy." And one day, you and I are going to get the hand of Jesus. And Mander, he's going to come up to you and he's going to go, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." How much is that worth? I love him because he hears me. I love him because he helps me. And I love him because he honors me. As I look in the book and I see all that he's done to do these things, my goodness, there's no way you could talk about or cover it all in one message or a million messages. The Bible says of that place that there no longer will be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads, and there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and forever. Wow. The question I have for you today is, do you love the Lord? I love him. When's the last time you just told him that? Not, "God, I want." Not, "God, I need." And those things are okay. We've looked at that. When's the last time you just spiritually threw your arms around his spiritual legs and gave him a daddy hug like you would as a kid to his dad and say, "Father, I love you. I love you." Say, "Brother Chip, I had a rough road home. I've never understood a family like that." Well, I'm telling you, you got a father now that you can love on. You got one now that you can throw your spiritual arms around him and hug him and just tell him you love him. I'll ask Brian to come, and if he will, just play a verse of invitation song. And I want to give you opportunity to come and to kneel and to pray. And just, would you stand with me? And come and just say, "God, I love you. Just I love you, Father." You're here and you know he hears you. You're here and you know he's helped you. And you know he's honored you by making you a child of the King. I ask you then, would you bring honor and glory to his name with your life and say to him, Father, I'm yours and I love you. Right where you're standing, would you pray with me, oh God, Father, I love you, Son. I thank you, Father, for your goodness and mercies. God, I thank you for your grace and your kindness. I thank you for hearing me. I thank you, Father, for not only just hearing me, but holding me. Times, God, when I could not just hold back the tears, God, and I was so broken, Father, and felt so dark and out of place, Father, and you were so faithful to take me to your bosom and to hold me tight, God, to let me throw my spiritual arms around your neck and just weep on you. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for hearing this sermon. And if these come to the altar, Father, just to say they love you, Father, would you hear them? Would you come right now before we finish this prayer? If you just want to come and kneel and say, I love you. I love you, Father. Would you slip out and come right now? This is your time between you and him. Would you say, I love you, Father? I just want to tell you I love you, God. Is that you? Would you come as others come? Say, I love you, God. I just want to tell you this morning, God, I love you. You've blessed me, God. You've heard me. You've helped me. You've honored me. Oh, God, I love you. I love you, Father. Would you come this morning? Are there others that need to come? Slip out and come. Say, I love you, Father. I love you. Oh, God, you're so good. Oh, God, you're so good. We love you so. Lord, as these pray, some have prayed right where they're standing, and they've told you they love you. I know you've heard, God, and I'm asking you that you'd help us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're ready to meet you and face you, that our relationship with you is everything it should be. Forgive us when we fall short. Forgive us when we sin, Father. And God, help us in living for you. And oh God, we do love you. Thank you, Father, for your mercies. Thank you for your grace. And we just want to tell you this morning, God, I come before you. I may have needs, but God, I just want to come before you and tell you, I love you. I love you so much. And one day my faith is going to become sight. And I will be able to run up to you as a child and throw my arms around you for real and tell you in person how much I love you. Oh God, but until that day, help me to never forget all that you've done for me. Lord, your word says that you daily loadeth us with benefits. Oh God, I thank you for your benefit program. Lord, as you move and work in our midst, in our church, in our people, God, would you do an amazing work in this place for your glory? May your name be lifted up, God, and as we lift you up and lift up the name of Jesus, Lord, you said that all men will be drawn unto thee. And Lord, we're asking you to continue to do that, to draw men, women, boys, and girls to you. God, we thank you for your mercies, and Lord, we love you. So in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, we love you. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Tommy if he will. Tommy, if you'll come, you ready to get baptized? Ready? I'm going to ask Tommy to come if you'll go in this little door around back here and get ready. This morning, we've known Tommy for years and we love him. Tommy's a blessing to us. He came this morning and he wanted to nail things down with God, make sure he was right where he needed to be. And in the office with Connie and I, he prayed and he asked the Lord to come into his life, forgive him, to help him to be who he wants him to be. And he said, can I get baptized? I said, when? He said, now. And so he's ready. And I'm grateful. And we love Tony. And church, if you'll be praying for Tommy, just say amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Pray for him.